Now, if you will come at 5 o'clock this evening, and we're having our associational rally here tonight, our annual meeting, you'll hear some fine singing, I'm sure, and fine preaching. And you come and be a part of that. It starts at 5, and we'll meet over there at 5 o'clock. There'll be some finger foods and things like that, and a mission table set up. And then at 6:30, we start in here with our evening worship service tonight at 6:30. It will be a great time. Brother Donnie Barron will be here. Thank you. My mind kind of slipped, but Donnie Barron will be here. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church in Rusk. I know you'll enjoy him. So come and be a part of that special meeting. Turn, if you will, this morning in your Bibles to Mark. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I want to read this passage of Scripture, the priority of the cross this morning. Starting with verse 21, then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull, and they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was about the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on the right, the other on the left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest also mocking him among themselves with the scribe said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we might see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reveled him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you that we can come here and just lift up your name. Oh, what a Savior you are. God, I thank you that you're my Savior. God, I thank you that you went to this cross and died for me, that I might have everlasting life. And God, even though I don't deserve it, I thank you that you have allowed me in my lifetime to stand and to preach your gospel all around this world. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity day by day that I have just to serve you, to tell people about the wonder of the cross, to tell people about the miracle. Oh Lord, I thank you, and I praise your name above all names. And Lord, I thank you that one day you have said that when we die, if we have given our life to you, Lord, that we might have eternal life, that we'll have a new body, that you prepared a place for us, and oh, what it'll be that day when you call us home, that we might just fellowship with you, not a day or not a day or two, but for all eternity. And God, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know that and doesn't believe that, and Lord, not persuaded of that, Lord, may they give their heart to you, Lord, that they might have eternal life. And we give you the praise for that miracle today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The priority of the cross. Why, I ask myself this week, why I preach on the cross? Why do I preach Christ died, crucified upon a cross. Why the cross? You see, the cross is more than those things that we wear around our neck, isn't it? The cross, when we think about a cross today, I noticed this morning someone had on a beautiful, I believe it was a gold cross. They even had some diamonds on it. But they come in all forms and fashions. Some are gold, some are silver, some are wood. Saw a man not long back with a tattoo of a cross on him. That was a permanent tattoo also. You know, people wear them, and they don't have the vaguest idea what it really means or stands for. The cross has merely become another item of jewelry that we put on to a lot of people today. And when they think about the cross, they don't really realize what it really means. You see, because of the cross today, I have hope. Like I said in my prayer, I have hope of eternal glory. I have hope of heaven. I have hope of eternal life. I know this old body's wearing out. It's getting older every day. I'm amazed at some of you. I hurt pretty good at 60, and I know some of you are older than that. And I heard one man say today that he can still raise his foot up and put it on his counter. I can't do that. I thought to myself, my goodness. Man, if I did that, I'd be in the hospital tomorrow. And this fellow's not a spring chicken either. He knows who he is. But I tell you one thing. I'm amazed at the people who do not know and understand about Jesus Christ and the cross. Because of him, not only do we have hope, because of him on the cross, I can experience forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness. Amen? You need it? I need it. Every single day, there's not a day goes by that I don't have to ask God for forgiveness in some way, form, or fashion. We need to experience that forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And it's all because of the cross of Christ that we can have forgiveness in our life. It's because of the cross that we have meaning in our life. You see, life don't mean anything if it wasn't for the cross. It would just be empty, the Bible says, vain without the cross. Because of the cross, friends, we've been made whole. We have a whole life. You know, I was empty. Some of you this morning are sitting there and you're thinking, well, what do you mean by being made whole? Well, you see, without Christ, you're there and you have a void in your life. There's a emptiness in your life. You may not understand it, but it's there. There's an emptiness. You don't have the forgiveness. You don't have real meaning in life. For the Bible says we were created to have fellowship with God. And without Christ in your life, you don't have that fellowship with him. So there's an emptiness there, that big hole that only Christ can fill. In the cross, there is healing of that hole. There's a healing and there's meaning that comes into your life. Because of the cross, you have been delivered from the sin in your life. You're no longer, the Bible says, a slave to sin. Isn't that great to know that sin doesn't own you anymore? Man, you don't have to be a slave to it. And because of the cross, we have power in our life. I like that passage of scripture, Isaiah 53:4-5. It says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. Listen to that. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastising for our well-being fell upon him. And by his stripes, I like this passage, we are healed. Folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you're not healed, you see. You say, well, I'm not in the hospital, I'm feeling pretty good, but you're not healed. The Bible says you have a sickness, you have a disease in your life, and it's destroying your life. You don't know it maybe at this time, but it's there, and it's destroying your life. You see, Sin ruins your life. The devil doesn't like you. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. Young people, he wants to destroy you. Adults, he wants to destroy you. He'll do anything he can to get your life all mixed up, all tore up. I was sitting beside a young lady the other day, and she was pregnant, and she couldn't have been over 15 years old. And I thought, Lord, help her, Lord, help her. What does she mean by having a baby at this age without a husband? You see, the world says, oh, that's all right. And to her peers, some of them may think, oh, that's cool. But, oh, listen. You bring a child into the world without a father. And you bring a child into the world that you have to take care of. They're not something that you can just throw on the couch and leave behind. It's a serious thing, this thing called sin, and the devil wants to ruin your life. And he'll start in just the simplest ways. We don't take things serious anymore, do we? Where's the respect that we need to give God in our life today? You see, the truth about the cross is God was in Christ reconciling the world. That means bringing the world back to himself in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this morning, folks, the cross can make a difference in your life. He's made a difference in mine. He can make a difference in your life. And I thought about that this morning. I thought about that last week. And I asked myself, why do I preach the cross? Why do I preach Christ? Why? And the reason God told me, the first reason, I preach the cross and Christ crucified because of the priority of the cross to Jesus Christ. You see, the cross, no doubt, Jesus all along intended to go there. His whole life moved in that direction. His whole life, as he grew as a boy, to do his Father's will was to go to the cross. In the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he prayed in agony till sweat drops of blood came from his head. He prayed for this event. He knew in his heart it was God's purpose. He must go to the cross because of the redemption of mankind. It was the only way that the Father could reconcile man back to him. And it was Jesus Christ, his priority in life, to go to the cross. It's no accident. In verse 28, the scripture says, the scripture was fulfilled there. On the cross. The cross was no accident. The scripture said it was going to be. And it was God's plan for his son to go before the foundation of the world. Friends, let me say, that's a long time ago. I wasn't here, neither were you. But even before the foundation of the world, the Bible says God knew about the cross. It's no accident. It was a priority. When God created man, he also ordained the tree. He also ordained the cross for himself. You see, God chose to go to the cross. Your sins, my sins, they nailed him there, but he chose to go, you see. He went for our sins. They didn't have to drag him there. He would have walked on his own. They didn't have to beat him to get him to go there. He would have went there. He went. I love that old song. He could have called 10,000 angels. They were there at his command. But he didn't call them. Why? Because he chose to go to the cross. It was number one priority. Without it, there would be no sacrifice for sin. And the scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us needed that. He died for me because I have sin in my life. He died for you because you have sin in your life. You see, you're born with this sinful nature in your life, whether you know it or not. I know I see these sweet little babies, and they're just so sweet and cuddly. But I know that they have that old sin nature in their life. And when they get to an age, I don't know what age that is, but we call it in Baptist circles the age of accountability. I don't know what age it is, but I know one thing. God knows what it is. And he'll give that child, I believe, an opportunity. Oh, he'll give that young man an opportunity to say yes to him, to say yes to the cross, to say yes to salvation, to say yes to a full and meaningful life, to say yes to hope, to say yes to eternal life. And let me tell you something. If you're sitting here this morning and you're hearing these words, he's giving you that opportunity right now. You see, you don't have to die and go to hell today. Because you're here and Christ is here and Christ is preached. You have an opportunity, the Bible says, to give your life to him and say, yes, Lord, I want that salvation gift. You see, the Bible says the judgment of the whole world was upon God's Son and rest upon him. And that's why he went to the cross, that he might die for your sins and my sins. You see, that all of us have sinned and come short. He came to die on the cross that we might be forgiven. That's why I preach the cross of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross not only to die for our sins, but he went there not only to get us forgiveness, but he went there because he loved you. The Bible says, for God so loved, put your name there. For God so loved Byron Jones that he gave his only begotten son, that if Byron Jones one day would say yes to him, yes, I want forgiveness, yes, I want you to be my Savior. For the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. I don't know about you, but in 1975, I gave my life to Jesus. Oh, what a Savior he's been. Oh, what a Savior he is. You see, the cross of Christ shows a principle of life for us. It shows that he died to show us that we must die as well, folks. You see, the Bible says we must die to ourselves. Now, when I die to self, I give Christ. I surrender my life to him. And I have to die to self every day because old self wants to put himself on the throne. So every day, the Bible says we have to crucify ourselves, you see? I reckon myself dead to the world. I reckon myself dead to sin and alive in Jesus Christ. Folks, that's just simply giving your life to him, living for him, giving up those selfish desires that you might have, and just say yes to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It speaks of dying daily to self and living daily for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. That's the reason I preach the cross. Because God made it first priority in his life. He would go to the cross. Now, there's another reason God showed me. The reason I preached the cross is because of the pain of the cross. Now, I know we wear these little necklaces around our necks. But the cross was not a symbol of a necklace that we wear for jewelry. It was a symbol of crucifixion. And friends, it wasn't like I laid down myself on a nice little bed and they put an injection in my arm and I simply go to sleep. That's easy. That's no pain. Crucifixion was one of the worst tortures in the world. The Roman soldiers knew how to make people suffer. There have been many attempts to describe crucifixion, and I have sat here time after time and tried to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but you know what? I can't do it adequately. There's no way we must remember that Jesus Christ was already, after they had laid him open with a cat of nine tails, he was already bleeding. His intestines may have been hanging out, exposed. He was a bloody pulp by the time he reached Golgotha's hill. Now, folks, that might be gruesome to some of you, but we need to understand that crucifixion was tough. It wasn't something that we could just walk up to and lay down and go to sleep, folks. He had been scourged. He had been beaten with rods. He was tortured. We worry about torturing somebody by dropping water on their head. What about Jesus Christ? He had been mocked by the soldiers. We read that. The crown of thorns were placed on his head. I don't know about you, but what we got down in old locust bushes down in East Texas, and they got some thorns on them. Some of them things stick out that long, and boy, you just stick one in your hand, and it burns like fire. You imagine a crown of those things pushed down upon your head? That's what they did to Christ. They beat him, struck him, the Bible says, with many blows. And then the cross, I don't believe it was just a pretty little 4x8 or 6x8 timber that had been planed down. I believe it was an old rugged cross. And I believe when they laid that on his back, those old splinters went into that flesh, and whatever step, the pain of the cross was on his back. But you know what? The Bible says he so loved you that he went to the cross for you and I, that we wouldn't have to. And then when he got to Golgotha's hill, the Bible says they stretched his hands out and spikes were driven through his hands and legs. And then they turned that cross up into an old hole. And it fell down and made a thud when it hit the bottom. And I can almost hear the flesh ripping. And I don't know about you, but you know what it is to have a pinched nerve? Man, I have a pinched nerve in my back, and every once in a while, if I just turn my neck the wrong way or if I pick up something just the wrong way, that pinched nerve just sends a fire down my back and to my legs. But it's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ endured. And dying on the cross, folks, that was long and hard. They tell me when you're up there and your weight is upon your legs and your legs can no longer push your body up so that you can get air, you literally drowned in your own fluid. The pain was unbearable, and we need to preach the cross because of the pain of the cross, folks. Let people know that that Jesus died in a cruel way so that you could have life. But you know what? It's more than just physical. Can you imagine as people come by, people maybe that he had even healed people. He had even done things for people's family, and they said they came by wagging their heads, making insults. Save yourself if you're really king. Just imagine how that hurts. Oh, we say sticks and stones may break our bones, but words may never hurt me. Let me tell you something, words do hurt, don't they? When you're made fun of, when you're a child and you can't play a game as well as somebody else, and that hurts, doesn't it? Bullying hurts, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I was one of those that people made fun of. It hurts. It doesn't just hurt through high school. It hurts all your life. You see? They made fun of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, not only that, folks, The Bible says his own father. God himself. Now, let's try to conceive this. He was the Son of God. He was the Savior of mankind. The Bible says in John, the Word made flesh. He was one with God. Never had there been a time, one second, when he and the Father wasn't in communication and in touch, you see. Now, the Son had to be separated before he died because God cannot look upon sin. And the Bible says he had to turn his back because he couldn't look at his own Son. He knew before the foundation of the world this was going to happen. And he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Folks, listen. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. We call people today that lays down their life for friends heroes. That's not what they call our Savior. Preach the cross. Tell about the cross. Because Jesus said it was priority in his life. Preach the cross because of the pain of the cross. And preach the cross because of the power of the cross. Look at verse 38. I love that passage of Scripture. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw, he cried out like this and breathed his last breath and said, truly this man is the Son of God. You see, this man had been there. This man had crucified Christ. This man had seen the people going by making fun. This man had seen his agony as he cried out, it's finished! He heard him say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This man watched him die on the cross. And the power of the cross to rip this veil from top to bottom, that's the power of the cross. And because of the power of the cross, I no longer have to go through a high priest. See, in the Old Testament, every year they would take their animals to the high priest. The high priest would offer them up. He'd wash himself. He would go through this ritual of taking the lamb and the animals and sacrificing them and burning them on the altar. And then he would take the blood and go into the Holy of Holies. That was behind the veil. And he would go in there and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And God would forgive the sins of the people. Over and over and over they went through that. Now because of the power of the cross, God says, you no longer have to go to a high priest. You can go directly to me. Jesus Christ is that. He bridged that gap between us and God. When he stretched out his hands on the cross and died, he made a way for you and I that we can literally come in our own life and kneel down and get right before God, and we can come boldly, the Bible says, to the throne of grace. I no longer have to go to a priest. That's the reason I don't agree with the Catholics. I'm not knocking their religion. I just don't agree with them. Because I can go to God myself. You see? That's what the Bible says. You don't believe it, you read it in the Bible. And the Scripture teaches that all become priests unto God. And there's a priesthood of every believer. And we can pray to God ourselves. And we can pray to a living God. A holy God. A God that loves us. A God that is shepherd to our souls. David cried out to him and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have want for anything, folks. He's there because of the power of the cross. Because of the power of the cross, he set us free from the sin. Because of the power of the cross, he changed my life years ago. Changed my life. Changed my direction in life. Because of the power of the cross, he has given me a peace within that only he can give. I don't know about you, but I have a peace that passes all understanding. You know, I went home to celebrate the other day my mother's 83rd birthday. She won't be with us a long time. She's lucky two or three more years. But you know what? I know I'll have her for all eternity because of the cross. And death to me, I'm going to miss. Man, I drove by the other day where my brother passed away. Man, I miss him terribly. I drove by where my father went home to be with the Lord. Man, I miss him. I wish I could ask him some questions. But you know what? It's only for a short time. I'm going to see him again one day. Why do I believe that? Because of the cross. That's the why I preach the cross. It offers me eternal life, never to be separated again. I miss our folks. And I was thinking this morning as we were praying, Brother Curtis Barfield used to be sitting right there beside me when we prayed. Oh, I miss Curtis. I was thinking, there's Brother Ed. He's gone on to be with God. I miss him. He was there every Sunday morning, first to pray. There's Tom Harris. He's gone. He was there sitting around that table every Sunday morning. There's Jake Tompkins, gone, but not forgotten. They're in heaven, every one of them. Not because of who they are, but because of who Christ is. He gave his life on the cross that we might have eternal life. And the power of the cross broke down every obstacle between you and I and God. And the grace, the gift of God's grace is offered to you this morning through Jesus Christ. All you have to do to experience it is to come by faith and say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I trust you for my salvation. Is the cross merely a story that you hear about on Sundays in Sunday school? It better not be. You look around at the people sitting beside you. I've given you a little testimony about my life. Saved in 1975, called to preach in 1979. I've been enjoying it ever since. But I know, I can just look around. These people all have experienced the cross of Calvary. They've experienced that eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'm never going to be separated from Brother Jay. Down here physically, one day we'll be separated, but spiritually we're going to be together in heaven, brother. Amen. I'm going to enjoy. You see, I wonder this morning, have you seen Jesus Christ hanging upon that cross, suffering for your life and mine? You see, his face was bloody, his bruised, swollen from the licks and the crucifixion, but he died for you. And at the foot of the cross, this old Roman soldier who had been through many a crucifixion, he looked at this man and said, something's different about this man. I believe truly he was the Son of God. Perhaps it was for the love that he showed upon the cross for all who came by. Perhaps for the forgiveness that he offered everyone. But whatever the reason, when Jesus breathed his last breath, this old cold centurion, Roman soldier, said, truly, this man was the Son of God. I preach the cross because it's priority in my life. I preach the cross because of the pain that Jesus suffered there. I preach the cross because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who will believe. If you're here this morning and you do not believe in Jesus, He offers you an opportunity to come to Him this morning and believe. Don't leave here lost. In Him you'll find forgiveness. In Him you'll find that void being filled with His love. In Him you'll find peace. In Him you'll find happiness. In Him you find eternal life. Don't leave here without it. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved, but you've never really, really enjoyed salvation like it's supposed to be. Man, salvation is power in Christ. And you've never really enjoyed that salvation. You know what? When you really get into the study of God's Word and really get into a Bible study, really get happy in Jesus, man, let me tell you something. I don't really know what's going to happen November whenever they vote. I don't know. I'm not politically. Not being political. I don't know if it'll be President Obama again or Mitt Romney. But I do know one, that God is in control. Don't matter who's there. They might change policies in Washington, but they won't change the policy of the Bible. I know how it's going to end up. And I'm at peace with that because I'm on the winning side. If you're not on the winning side, you need to get on the winning side. Somebody said the other day, whose side are you on? Republican or Democrat? I said, I'm on God's side, brother. He's going to win. Would you come this morning? Maybe you're looking for a church home. I'd love to have you here. I'd love to work with you. I'd love to share with you about Jesus Christ and talk with you about. There's plenty of ways you can serve God. Some of you have gifts you can serve God with. Some of you have a talent. Come use them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the gift of salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the priority of the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you endured the pain so that we wouldn't have to. I thank you, Lord, for the power that we have in Christ Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And Lord, today, I just ask you to bless us this morning. And Lord, bless the speaker, bless the people who come tonight. And we give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.